Amen. Well, this morning, we continue our series titled, Live Like a King. It's our lessons from the life of King David. We're learning that we too, us just supposedly ordinary Christians, that we too can live anointed lives like King David lived. We can be men and women after God's heart. Do you realize that God created us and Jesus came and redeemed us so that we could live in a way where our Heavenly Father could say, look, it's my child. Look at that man. Look at that woman. They're after my heart. I love them. I'm pleased with them. We can be those people. I believe we're growing into those people, and it pleases the Lord. You know, week one of our study of Live Like a King, we learned that we must be anointed. If we're going to live like a king, we've got to be people who are anointed. King David was anointed by God. And it says the fullness of the Spirit came upon him in power. And then we see all of the rest of the story. Slaying the giant and the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh my, and all the other things that King David did and the favor that he had and the kingdom of God that he brought to the nation of Israel. If we're going to live like kings, then we need to be anointed like King David was anointed. We learned in week two that if we're going to live like a king, that we need to be patient. Because remember, it was several decades, a couple decades before King David, after the anointing, before he then saw the fulfillment or the fullness of the anointing happen in his life when he became king of all Israel. But he didn't bail on God. He didn't judge God and say, God, you anointed me at age 15. I'm 25 right now and I'm not seeing it happen. So obviously you're not faithful and I'm just going to go about my own plans. No, he trusted in the Lord, and he was patient, and he saw the fulfillment of the anointing happen in his life. Week three, we learned that if we're going to live like a king, as we learned from King David's life, that we need to be confident. It's not confidence in ourselves, definitely not confidence in our flesh. It's confidence in the Lord. And then last week, we learned if we're going to live like a king, we need to be merciful. King David understood that mercy and the anointing go together. It's like Jesus taught us in the Beatitudes. The fifth Beatitude is what? Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. King David understood that. He lived that. He was merciful to Saul and Saul's family. He was merciful to his son Absalom. He lived out of that place of mercy, and because of that, God continued to bless him. And he continued to walk in the anointing. And so this week we continue to learn how to live like a king. As David, as his life teaches us to be a fan. That's the title of today's message, Be a Fan. I know some of you are already thinking, I'm not a fan, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm not a fan. I know. Hang with me here. Hang with me. I want to show you some pictures. If we could start putting some of those pictures on the screen of those fans. Check these guys out. Look at them. Are they excited? Are they excited? Are they having fun? Look at the next one. Look at them. Look at their hands. They're all together, man. Look at them going after it. They're excited about those Gators, aren't they? Let's look at the next one. Look at them. Man, you think that was a worship service, but I think that's just like a Colorado football game or something like that. And the next one. Woo! They're screaming. They're yelling. They're loud. They're rambunctious. They're happy. They're full of joy. And ho! There's an old school picture right there. I don't know what's happening there, but those folks are excited. What is a fan? Some definitions include an enthusiastic devotee, an ardent admirer or enthusiast, A fan is a fanatic. And that word fanatic originates from the Latin word fanaticus, which means to be inspired by a deity. A fanatic is someone who has been inspired by a deity. So, hey, just think about this as you, just looking at those other pictures of those fans, those fanatics. They're inspired by something. What is their deity, potentially? Might be sports or athletics or anything. Anyway, that was just a little side note there. A fan is a fanatic. It originates from the word fanaticus, which means inspired by a deity. So a true fan, if we're talking in the kingdom of God realm, a true fan is someone who is so inspired by God that they worship and they praise Him with their everything. They're fanatics. A fan is a worshiper. I mean, an all-out worshiper. King David was called the man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was a fan of God. He was a fan of God. He was an enthusiastic devotee. He was an ardent admirer of God. He was a worshiper of God. And David understood the importance of praise and worship. And because he understood it, and then he lived it, God blessed him and poured out His Spirit all over him. Praise and worship is that outward expression of our heart. David, the man after God's own heart, he expressed his heart through praise and worship. And God loves it. He loves it when we outwardly express our heart. David penetrated the heart of God with ceaseless praise and worship. Did you hear what I said? He penetrated the heart of God. He touched the heart of God with His praise and His worship. He didn't allow problems. He didn't allow issues. He didn't allow a bad attitude. He didn't allow disappointments, the busyness of life, to keep Him from being a fan, a fanatic, a worshiper of God. He was going to praise the Lord no matter what. So, the condition of David's heart was expressed outwardly through praise and worship. Praise and worship, again, is that it's an outward evidence of really what's in us. David's heart was all in for God, and so was his worship. We're looking at the life of King David. We're looking to God's Word right now. We want to know, because we love God, we want to know what somebody's life looks like if they're called a man or a woman after His heart. We want to understand that. I mean, don't you want God to look and say of you, hey, that man, he had my heart and I love him. Don't you want God to be able to say that? Don't you want to be those kind of people? I do. I want to be that kind of person. I don't want to be one of those people that God looks at and goes, well, he was almost there, but no. So I want to look to God's Word. What does it look like to be a fan of God? What does it look like to be a man or a woman after God's heart? So we're looking to the life of King David. We're looking to God's Word for that. We're not looking to see how the Baptists worship God and what their structures are. We're not looking how Pentecostals praise and worship God. We're not looking to see what the Presbyterians or the Methodists do. We're not looking to any of that. I want to know what God's Word says about a man who was after God's heart and how he worshiped and praised God, because it obviously had something to do with it. I don't want us to go into this with any preconceived notions. This is what we learned growing up in the church that I went to. What does God's Word say? God exalted this man, King David. He lifted him up, a man after my heart. Praise and worship was a huge part of his life. Let's see what that really looks like. This morning, we're going to look at three different things. Number one is how David was uncompromising in his worship. The second thing we're going to look at is how David witnessed through his worship. He evangelized. He witnessed through his worship. And number three, we're going to look at how David lived his worship. So you ready to roll?
Amen.
3 points. Number one, David was uncompromising in his worship. And I want you to turn to Psalm 27, verse 4, because this passage of Scripture gives us some insight on what it looks like to be uncompromising in our devotion to the Lord. Psalm 27, 4. Let's look at King David's heart. David said, one thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. This one thing, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. The one thing I'm looking for is to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. This is some insight into what it looks like to have a heart of worship. What it looks like to be a fan. What it looks like to be uncompromising in our worship to the Lord. This is a picture of how David's heart was wholeheartedly, and his worship was wholeheartedly for God. He wasn't just going halfway. He wasn't stingy with his worship and his desire and his pursuit of the Lord. He was all in, wholeheartedly all in for the Lord. He had total focus, total commitment, and total devotion. And you know that there were other voices clamoring and trying to pull him to the left or to the right. There were other voices. There were other things in life. I mean, trying to get his attention, whether they were difficulties of life or whether they were temptations that the devil was throwing at him. The wealth and the power of being a king. There were other things that were trying to pull him away from total devotion and uncompromising worship of the Lord. But David was single-minded in where he would place his worship. He was one thing focused, as we see in Psalm 27, verse 4. He didn't waver. David was not a fair-weather fan. You know what I'm saying? You know what a fair-weather fan is. Some of you are fair-weather fans. I will admit, I can become a fair-weather fan pretty quickly here in Phoenix. When you're looking at teams like the Suns, you know, and I mean, it's like, oh, come on. Back in the 90s, it was so much fun, but not so much anymore. You know what a fair weather fan is. You're a fan when the team is winning. You're a fan when everything appears to be going good. You're a fan when it's popular and when it's acceptable. How many of you are fans when Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the Cardinals? Yeah. And they were winning, and they were going to the Super Bowl. How many of you are, like, really excited about the Cardinal games, like last season? You're excited about the future. Yeah, I don't see any hands coming up right now. Fairweather fan. You know what the creed is for a fairweather fan? The last to join and the first to leave. That's a fairweather fan. David was no fair-weather fan. David praised God whether he was sitting on the throne of Israel or whether he was hiding in a cave being pursued by Saul's army. He was a fan of God. He was a fanatic. He was a worshiper of God, no matter what was going on. He was no fair-weather fan. And God is not a fan of fair weather fans. Isaiah 42, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. I won't pour out my glory on those who are just kind of my fan. When I'm blessing them, but not when life gets difficult. I'm not going to pour out my glory on people who give themselves to other idols, who are fans of mine on Sunday, but then they're a fan of their career on Monday, and then they're a fan of pleasure on Saturday. And God is saying that, look, I am a jealous God. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to somebody who's giving themselves to another. David was not a fair weather fan. And so the Lord was very pleased with David. And he poured out his glory and his anointing all over David's life, because David was a one thing man. Singularly focused on God, no matter whether he was on the throne or he was hiding in a cave. The Lord was his one thing at all times. David understood that praise and worship releases the anointing. And when God's people come together in unity, and when we render praise unto the Lord, the anointing, or as we see in that passage in Isaiah, the glory of God comes, falls on us. It's released. When we get singularly focused, when we come together and we glorify God with our everything, the Lord loves it. And He responds. We talked last week about the if-then that we see throughout the Beatitudes. And we were looking at the fifth one. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. There is a cause and effect with the Lord. I'm telling you, I understand it. I live so much of my life just going through the motions, going after this and going after that, going after this and going after that. And I just had God as another little add-on in my life. And oh, I loved Him and all that, but He was such a small piece. He wasn't the main thing. He wasn't my focus. He was just an add-on, and I had Him there because I know I had to have Him there. But there's a difference. When He became my one thing, and He's more and more becoming that as I'm being sanctified and I'm letting go of all the trappings of the world and the past and my flesh, and as He's becoming more and more my one thing and that one thing focus, I am seeing a difference. I'm hearing His voice more. I'm understanding. I read the Word of God and it comes alive. It's like, whoa, this is amazing. As God becomes more and more my one thing, I'm seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit begin to come alive in my life. I'm seeing the Lord work in mighty and amazing ways, and it's humbling and it's exciting. David understood that praise and worship releases the anointing. And when we come together and we go after God, He releases the anointing. You know, on Friday night we had our awakening service, and there was a pretty small group in here on Friday night, but the presence of God was big. It was huge. I'll tell you what, I don't cry a lot in church, but I was weeping on Friday because the presence of God was so sweet. It was unbelievable. We just ended up having an hour of worshiping before Him as He was speaking to us and just showing up and touching our hearts. David understood that, so he loved to praise and worship God because God's glory in His presence, His anointing was released when He would do that. So that was his one thing focus, was to be in the presence of God, to gaze upon His beauty. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And when you taste and see that the Lord is good, nothing else is going to satisfy. It just won't. David's son Solomon experienced this whole thing of understanding that praise and worship releases the glory and the anointing of God. Solomon experienced it firsthand when they brought the ark into the completed temple. We read that when the singers and the musicians began to praise and worship God together with one sound, praising God, that God's glory came and the priest could hardly stand and minister because the presence of God was so thick in that place. Many of us have experienced a portion of that. We have. We've experienced it. And there's more. Look, let's go to 2 Chronicles 5, verses 12 through 14. This is a picture of what happened when they brought the ark into the completed temple. It said that all the Levites who were musicians stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding trumpets. That gets loud. You know, I used to play the trumpet. In high school, I even played in college for 1 year. Trumpets can be very loud instruments. 120 priests playing trumpets together at the same time in unison. Verse 13, the trumpeters and the singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpet, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord, singing, He is good! His love endures forever! God is good! He is good! He's good! His love endures forever! And what happened? Did they just close the service and everybody went away the same? And, well, that was great. We went through our little religious stuff that we had to do. We came and we sang and we heard the word of God. And that was it. Another day, another dollar, and let's do it again next week. No. They came together as fanatics for the Lord, praising and worshiping Him. And it says, then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. The glory of God came down. The very presence, the fullness, the anointing of God came down. These were regular, ordinary people. Regular, ordinary people. Praising God. Lifting up. Hearts of praise, shouting, playing music, crying out to Him. And the glory of the Lord came into that place on that day. We say, oh, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? This is why David was uncompromising in his praise and worship. This is why he praised God so much, because he understood that praise and worship releases the anointing, releases the fullness of the Spirit. David loved the presence of God. He loved the fullness of God. And so he loved to praise the Lord with everything that was in him, because he experienced the connection. So number one, David was uncompromising in his worship. Number two, David witnessed through his worship. He evangelized. He witnessed through his worship. Let's go to Psalm 57, verse 9. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. David's worship was public. I will sing of you. I will praise you among the peoples. In the presence of other people. In public. I will praise your name. David didn't just worship in private. Although private worship is important. And I've got to tell you what. It is in times of private worship where I just go in my office and I'll either turn on iTunes and just start worshiping with it, or I'll grab a guitar and I'll just start praising the Lord and just having my own little private worship service. That is usually, it is during those times when I am just overcome by the Lord and I find myself weeping and crying. Not because I'm sad, but because I'm just so blown away by His goodness. And He pours out that favor and that goodness and really His presence all over me just because I'm coming before Him and I'm worshiping Him. Private worship is very important. In fact, private worship prepares us for corporate worship. But David didn't just worship in private. He was unashamed to proclaim God's name for all to hear. In fact, He meant for his worship to be heard so that others would be led to God. He wanted other people, people that were far from God, he wanted them to hear and to see his praise and worship because he knew that that would lead them to the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. David says that God put a new song in my mouth. How many of you want God to put a new song in your mouth? He'll do it. Spend time with him. Ask for it and just start opening up your mouth and praising him and he'll put a new song in your mouth. David experienced that and he said, God put a new song in my mouth. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. He put a new song in my mouth, a praise upon my lips to God, and people are going to hear that and they're going to be drawn to the Lord. When we live like a king, when we learn from King David's life, and we praise God openly and unashamed, people are going to take notice and they will be drawn to Jesus and they will find salvation because we are worshipers. Because we're sincere with our worship. Our worship and our praise is supposed to be a witness to the world. One of the most important elements, possibly the most important element of a gathering of the saints is to experience the presence of God, is to come into His presence. That's why we have the Bible. This leads us into the presence of God. God's Word leads us into His presence. Praise and worship also leads us into His presence. It says that He inhabits the praises of His people. David understood that. And so he was all about praising God. But even more than us just getting to experience the presence of God, as sweet as that is, and that's a good thing to desire that and want that because God wants that too. He wants us to experience His presence, to feel His touch, to be healed by Him, to be restored by Him in His presence. He wants that for every one of us. But our praise and worship goes even beyond that. We got to understand that. Our praise and worship has even more impact than just our own relationship with God. See, we give visitors, those who don't know God, we give them a chance through our praise and worship to meet God. Do you realize that? Through our praise and worship, we give them a chance to meet God. People need to experience the presence of the Lord. They need to experience the glory of God. They need to meet Jesus. They need to know that He's real. They need to feel Him even. They need to know Him here. In their head, they need to know Him in their heart. They need to know Him deep within their inner man. You know, instead of being concerned about what are unbelievers going to think about us in our praise and worship, and what are guests going to think? Are we going to offend them? The fact that we're raising our hands or that we may be dancing or that we're shouting unto God and we're just so excited. We better make sure that we kind of curb it and kind of pull it back because we don't want to offend somebody. David understood that it's actually the exact opposite that needs to happen. See, David demonstrated to us that, you know what, he put a new song in my mouth and I'm going to sing praises to my God and people are going to see it, they're going to hear it, and they're going to be drawn to God. They're going to be drawn to God because I'm being authentic before the Lord because the Lord is my one thing and I'm going after God with my everything. And people desire authenticity. They're not looking for religious people who are going to make it feel good for them. No, they want to see people who really love God and who are fans of God. I mean, you look at it. Anyway. No, I'm not going to go there. So, we need to let our worship witness. King David, let his worship witness, and people were drawn to the Lord through his praise and worship. So do you realize that every single one of you is a worship leader? Every one of you in this room. I'm not saying that everyone in this room is going to be on American Idol next week. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying every one of you is a worship leader. Every one of us is called to lead others to Christ through our praise and worship. And I bet you most of you don't think of praise and worship that way. As a witnessing tool, as an evangelism tool, but it is. David understood that. So he was excited when God put a new song in his heart because he knew that that was going to make a difference to other people's lives and it was going to draw people to the Lord. We've got to get our eyes off ourselves, though, especially during praise and worship. When we're praising and worshiping God, we need to have our focus on Him. We can't worry about what other people are thinking. That's pride, by the way. If we're worried about what other people are thinking, that's pride. We can't do that. Not in the presence of God. We're coming into the presence of God, and we're gonna allow pride to keep us from worshiping the Lord with our everything. Singing to Him, it doesn't matter what we sound like. It's beautiful to the Lord. It's coming from our hearts, sincere hearts that love Him. You know, I look at Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, where Jesus was answering the question about what's the greatest commandment. And He said, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That strength is talking about our actions, about our voices, about our hands raised, about loving Him with our everything. A true fan doesn't care what other people think, but only what God thinks. A fan's going to go crazy for God. You saw those pictures of those fans on there. They're going crazy for a sports team. They're painting themselves up with gators, you know, letters, and it says gators on their chest and everything. That's crazy. That's nuts. They're letting people put it on the internet and on Facebook and stuff. A fan will go crazy for God. And to outsiders, they may even appear to be undignified, but we can't be afraid to be undignified before the Lord. You guys know the story about King David. They're bringing the ark into Jerusalem, into the city of David. They're bringing the ark. And David is so excited, and he's so thrilled because he understands the significance of that to the people of God. And so does he just kind of lead the processional, all solemn? Yes, here comes the ark. No, man. David was excited. And he led that worshiping God. So much so that his wife said, that's undignified. A king shouldn't be dancing like that, shouldn't be singing like that. You know what happened as a result? King David was exalted by God. The Lord said, I'm pleased. I love that. And his wife was actually cursed, made barren. Let me go to point three. So number one, David was uncompromising in his worship. Number two, what was it, guys? He witnessed in his worship. And number three, David lived his worship. Worship wasn't just something that David did on Sunday mornings or in that time, you know, Saturday evenings or something like that. No, no, no. It wasn't just a once in a while type thing. Worship was giving his life completely to God and for God's purposes. He worshiped the Lord with his everything. And this type of worship begins outside the sanctuary in the context of daily walk with God. Let's look at Psalm 89:15. It says, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you or to praise you. Blessed are those who've learned to praise you, to acclaim you, Lord. Those who walk in the light of your presence. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. Paul reaffirms this principle in Romans 12:1, where he says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's great mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Not just Sundays, but every single day with our everything in how we live our lives, we're worshiping the Lord. Yes, it's about singing. Yes, it's about dancing. Yes, it's about raising hands. It's got to be about that, but it's also about just doing the right thing and living for God day in and day out. Making God number one every single day in every single way. That's worshiping the Lord with our lives in the way that we live. The willing and daily sacrifices to God. Loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. As we conclude, I want to invite you to stand up because you know where we're going with this, right? We got this flip-flop thing going this week. We got the worship coming after the message because how can we not worship the Lord with our everything? After being instructed by God's word to do that, after seeing the life of King David, how can we not stand and worship God with our everything? I want to remind us of the word that God gave us earlier this year, back in January. That word of outpouring that he wants to do here in the church. I'm going to read it to you again as we launch into worship. I said in January that I sense God wanting to release a spirit and grace for higher praise. And I want to just stop here for a moment and say, you know what? That is happening here in this church already. We're seeing that spirit of higher praise happening in this church already. And it's making a difference. Let me continue, and you're going to see how some of this stuff is actually happening as we respond to God with our everything and we worship Him with that higher praise. That God is wanting to release a spirit and grace for higher praise that will break chains and bring a spirit of freedom over His church. Hallelujah. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, correct? Yes. And He inhabits the praises of His people, correct? And He's going to bring that spirit of freedom over the church to a degree that we have not yet experienced. This freedom will, in turn, open up the door for deeper worship and intimacy with the Lord. How many of you know that David was very intimate with his Heavenly Father? There's no accident, because he was a man who praised God and worshiped Him with his everything. Continuing that word, this will also release a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts that He offers to the church. And we're seeing this happen already this year. Even last week, as we saw God's grace falling on us, as we saw the gifts of the Spirit being utilized, coming out of that time of praising Him, and the Lord gives somebody in our congregation a word of knowledge about a healing. And then God actually brings that healing immediately into somebody's life, into their shoulder.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. There is a correlation between all of this. I think that's what we need to see from David's life. We need to see the correlation between walking in the anointing, between praise and worship, between mercy and being patient. There's a correlation between all of that stuff. I know as good American men and women, we like to compartmentalize everything and we chop everything up and we separate everything into these neat little boxes. But no, everything works together. It all works together. There's a reason why praise and worship is important. There's a reason why we need to be walking in the Spirit. There's a reason why we need the fullness of God all over us. We can't live for God. We can't be men and women after God's own heart on our own without the Holy Spirit fully operating in our lives. Anyway, all of this works together, and I hope we're learning that through the life of King David. Let go of some of this compartmentalization stuff. Love Him with our everything, heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's be fans. Let's launch into this time of praise and worship. And as we launch into this, I want to read Psalm 148 over us as the band is beginning to play. And I want to encourage us. Let's be like King David. It's okay. Don't worry about what your neighbor is doing or not doing or thinking or not thinking. Let's be singular focused. Let's focus on the Lord. Let's glorify Him. Let's glorify Him. Let me read Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. That's us right now. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, stones, clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding. You mountains and all the hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all the cattle, small creatures and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all the nations. You princes and all you rulers on earth. Young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His saints of Israel, the people close to His heart. Praise the Lord.